This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Go Wild. Go Wild is a social media platform designed for and by outdoorsmen. Go Wild is a place to connect with other outdoorsmen, find fishing and hunting tips and tactics, and you can even research and buy your gear. Join hundreds of thousands of other hunters, fishermen, and outdoorsmen and experience what this community is all about. Download it today at downloadgowild.com. This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Vortex Optics. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I am sitting up in my office. If you're listening to this at right away on Wednesday morning, just know that I sacrificed sleep tonight to put this episode out. It's really late right now. I had a whole bunch of work to do. I had to be a chauffeur for the kids. I had to run. I had to make I had to make multiple trips into town. One, because I really wanted to. I finally got my bow shipped to me while I was gone in Nebraska hunting. By the way, full recap of that hunt coming probably next week, just because I got to get lined up some time to do the interview with the guy that I went with. But went and got my new bow set up. I got a Bowtech Solution. That fucker is slick, man. I tell you, I got it set up really good. I spent some extra time with the Bowtech at Shields in Iowa City, and he really broke it down for me. He really, like, quarter twist here, you know, making sure that the cams were hitting both at the same time. The peep was in the right spot. The kisser button was in the right spot. It wasn't making any crazy noises. I mean, that is a dart. It's shooting darts now. So the only thing I really have to do is really adjust the rest a little bit to make sure it's maybe I might do some paper tuning, but for sure sight it in, and I'll let you know how all that goes on probably through social or whatever. But today we are going to be talking about what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about staging areas. Staging areas are literally my favorite place to hunt when it comes to pinch points, bedding areas. I just feel that staging areas can offer a lot. They can offer you an opportunity at a buck when he is at his most vulnerable. And what I mean by that, I'll break that down. But I think the first thing that we really need to do is define what a staging area is. And we're going to do that as soon as I get done with these commercials. And I'm sorry, but I got to do the commercials. All right. So first company up, Exodus Trail Cameras. I'm telling you right now, it's a company that I believe in. It is the people that work there are passionate about the outdoors. They're passionate about their product that they sell, and they want you to be successful. You can text them or you can call them and leave a message and they will respond to you. Not only that, they also offer a 5-year warranty and a theft replacement warranty, where if your trail camera is stolen, then you can get another trail camera for half off. Okay, so these guys are really working hard to gain the trust of their end user, of their customers, and not only all these cool benefits. The camera itself is the big benefit. You turn it on, you leave, you should have confidence in your trail cameras. And I have confidence when I'm running my Exodus outdoor gear cameras. They work, period. And that's all I want, right? For me, I don't need all the fancy bells and whistles. These guys have the bells and whistles if you want to play around with them. I'm not that guy. I want a trail camera that works, and Exodus is that trail camera that I trust and that I have confidence in. So if you want to find out more about Exodus trail cameras, visit exodusoutdoorgear.com. Ozonix. Been using these products for a very long time. Ozone has its place in the scent control game, in my opinion, over Carbon. Way over Carbon. Like, Carbon's played out. Sprays, like scent elimination sprays. I don't know what people are thinking when they buy those scent elimination sprays. I am not going to use them. They don't work. If you spray your clothes down with scent elimination spray, but you have nasty ass breath, that spray isn't going to do anything to what you've just sprayed all over your body. It makes no sense to me, right? But ozone does. It distorts your scent profile downwind, and I've seen it work 1,000 times. I can sit here and talk about it all night long about the benefits of O3, ozone, especially with an Ozonix. I am a huge fan of using their dry wash bag in their closet, and I'm telling you right now, it's based off science. It works, right? It kills bacteria, destroying odor, period. That's what O3 does, right? And so not only does it work on your clothes, and when I do a dry wash cycle, I walk into the woods, I feel invisible, but while you're in the tree, it distorts your scent profile enough to where the deer get downwind of you and they're like, man, what is going on? They can smell it, but they don't smell danger. That's all I'll say. So if you want to find out more information about Ozonix and all the different units and combo packs that they offer, visit ozonixhunting.com. And I do have a discount code here, and that is for a free dry wash bag with a purchase of one of their units. Enter the discount code NFC21. NFC21. All right, next we have Excalibur crossbows. Here's what I'm going to say about this. I personally don't use a crossbow, right? I can't in the state of Iowa. But what I can tell you is that through conversations with people who do use crossbows, with conversations with guys like Todd Snader, who represent that brand, they are made with superior products or materials. They are made with superior engineering. It's a keep it simple, stupid type design. And at the same time, it's a company that has been around for a long time. So not only do they've been around for a long time, so that means they have a foundation of customer service that allows a product like that to sell and continue to sell and be successful. So It's a badass bow, badass people, and I like aligning myself with companies like that. Someday, I'll probably be shooting a crossbow, but right now I'm not. So, like I always say, if you're looking for a crossbow for yourself or for a child or for someone who is maybe past their prime, so to speak, definitely check out ExcaliburCrossbow.com and take a look at their Twin Strike Two Shot. That's their brand new one. Crazy. Two arrows at one time can be shot. So it's very unique. So check it out, ExcaliburCrossbow.com. And lastly, my other appendage, my Lone Wolf tree stand. I'm a fan of the four sticks. Oh, here, let me tell you a little story real quick. I went into Shields today and I was looking at all of the tree stands that they were selling. And I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at these tree stands, and I'm trying to apply their design to how I hunt. And they were selling 13 different tree stands, and only three of them could do what I wanted them to do. And two of those were Lone Wolf portable tree stands. So there's nothing else that I could use. So, you know, especially in crooked trees, and that's where they shine. Crooked trees, run and gun mentality, quiet setting up, quiet tearing down, the ability to adjust the seat and adjust the platform and adjust the base so it all sits level even in a crooked tree. And that what that does is it puts you in the right spot, the right spot. Not the closest tree that fits your tree stand, but in the right tree that's going to give you the shot out opportunity. And sometimes that can be a 5-yard difference, man. So LoneWolfHuntingProducts.com. And if you want to save $50, enter the discount code 9FC21 at checkout, and you're going to save $50 off of all purchases over $200. Boom. Now we're done. All right. I'm going to take a sip of this Basil Hayden real quick. That's a bourbon for those of you guys who don't know. It is so delicious. It's so delicious. All right, what are we talking about today? Staging areas. We got to define a staging area. And it's a broad stroke, right? It's a huge paintbrush. The way I define a staging area is in a deer's bed to food pattern. A staging area is an area across that bed to food pattern where the deer slow down, they stage up, and whether they stage up just to wait for other deer to get in their area, and you know, it's a social setting, or it is a setting where deer are very observant. They slow down and they maybe side hill a food plot or side hill an ag field so they can catch everything coming off. All right. So it's any area that deer slow down in and hold up and stage in, the staging area, and stage in before they move off into a destination food source. Now, I'm not going to get into destination food sources right now, what those are. I hunt in Iowa, and a destination food source really is just a bigger ag field. It can be a bigger food plot. It can be an oak flat. It can be anything that deer spend a lot of time feeding in throughout the evening. All right. So what does a staging area now look like? Here is an example that I find the most, right? I talk a lot about me being a field edge hunter, back in the day. And the moment that I started moving off of the field edges further back into the timber, I started seeing more deer. And I didn't know it at the time, but those places that I moved into were the staging areas, right? So in Iowa, in several other states, in really any area that has a big ag or a lot of edge, maybe timber to edge CRP or timber to river bottom or wherever, what you're going to have is where open field meets big timber, there is a point where more sunlight gets into the timber, thus causing more vegetation, thicker cover, and there's this buffer between the wide open and the open timber. This is where I moved off of the field edges and started hunting all these years ago. That's where I noticed more sign. And that's where I noticed deer would come off of their beddings in more of an open timber setting, right? Off the knobs, off the points, off the spur ridges, you know, off maybe a little thick, you know, some maybe thicker parts of the timber, deeper into the timber. And they would work their way up the trails, heading to the big egg, heading to the destination food source, maybe an oak flat or an oak ridge, I don't know, food plot, whatever. And they'd hit these areas that are thicker in nature, and they would just start slowing down, and they would lay a lot of sign. I'd watch them make scrapes. I'd watch them make rubs. When I would do my postseason scouting, I noticed in these areas there was more old sign, more rubs, more scrapes. During the season scouting, if I had ever needed to do a little extra scouting during the season to locate something, I would notice that this is where a majority of the sign was. Now, a lot of people will walk field edges and they'll see scrapes and they'll see some rubs. But one thing from my experience, I noticed that when you step into these staging areas off of those field edges, you know, sometimes it can be 20 yards deep. Sometimes it can be 100 yards deep. It just all depends on the lay of the land. But what you have here is, like I said, an area where they slow down, they start to socialize, they lay a lot of sign. So that's what a staging area looks like. From my experience. Now, other places that I've seen deer stage in before they hit a main food source that maybe is not as obvious would be feathered edges. Okay, so and what I mean by a feathered edge is maybe it's an erosion strip where the timber ends, and before they get to the timber, there's some tall, or the ag field, there's some tall grass. And they just kind of chill in there before they hit the main ag or the destination food source. A lot of times they'll just kind of stop and look around. A lot of times they might even re-bed down in this tall grass before they head out to eat. And sometimes they'll get up. They may just chill out there for a second, bed down in this until dark, and then stand up again and start to feed. And I don't know, man. I've seen that as well. But I'm trying to think of another example of a staging area that I've seen. Oh, in a river bottom ground. All right. So what I've found is as a river will turn and twist and turn through the landscape, sometimes it creates these peninsulas. And deer and on this river bottom ground, if it's, you know, if cattle aren't in it, or if there's the ability for a lot of sunlight to get into these areas, they can be thick and nasty and turn into some real good bedding areas. And as they come out of those river bottom peninsulas or bedding areas, they will work their way up the peninsula. And usually what I've found is that opens up a little bit because there's more mature trees in these areas. And again, this is from my experience, more mature trees in this area, bigger canopy, less vegetation on the bottom. And that is where they make their sign. So in that scenario, it's almost opposite of what happens up top on the big ag fields, where it goes from open timber, thicker along the fence lines and field edges, all the way to the ag field. And in the river bottoms, it's thicker bedding cover. They work their way through an open timber area right along that edge, right along the edge of where the thick bedding meets the open timber before they head out to the ag field. And that is where they lay their sign. So it's one of those things where a staging area, it's defined as a place where deer slow down and hang out and socialize and lay sign. But at the same time, it does, a staging area doesn't really, in my opinion, doesn't really have a face, if that makes sense. It doesn't look the same every single place, like downwind of a bedding area, right? I mean, a bedding area can be wherever deer bed. A pinch point is a place that terrain or man-made or natural things funnel deer. Those are all kind of, that's going to kind of be the same, but there's no real face to a staging area. Staging areas can even be smaller food plots that guys make. I got a buddy here in Iowa. His name's Tom Peplinski. So he'll make these giant food source destination food plots. But then he'll go further into the timber or along some edge or some kind of really good travel corridor, and he'll throw a micro plot in. He calls them his kill plots. And he hunts those. He doesn't ever really hunt the destination food source, except for maybe during the gun season. But when he's archery hunting, he sets up these micro plots, these very small food plots that the deer will stage in. They'll hit, they'll stage, mess around there before they make their way to the big ag. So again, there's no real face to a staging area. It's just there are indicators that this could potentially be a staging area sign, maybe even some beds, a lot of maybe scat, you know, all that stuff in these things. Now, how do you hunt those, right? And here's my experience. How do I hunt a staging area? It's my favorite. It's my favorite place to hunt because access is quite easy. You can, obviously you want to play the wind, but when it comes to access, a staging area, you know, for the most part, if you get in there early enough for an afternoon hunt, the deer are not going to be in there. They're still going to be in their beds. If you get in there early enough, you can get in there, you can set up on them, and you're going to have plenty of time before they start coming through. Now, mornings are a bit more difficult because you really don't know when a deer is heading back to their beds, but that's why access is very important. On a lot of my staging area hunts, I have Loctite access routes on multiple winds, and in these staging areas, I have multiple tree stands. Right, so if I have a predominant south wind, I know that I can get away with hunting on the north side of the staging area. If I have a north wind, I can hunt on the south side, and vice versa with the east and the west, depending on how terrain dictates deer movement through those staging areas. So I like staging areas because you really get the ability to hunt a staging area on whatever winds you want. A lot of my staging area tree stand locations are on the lower part as far as terrain, so the wind comes over top of the terrain, and the deer are on the lower end as far as terrain is concerned. There's usually some edge involved or a big terrain feature, maybe even a subtle terrain feature like a spur ridge that runs parallel or perpendicular or even diagonal into this area that they just feel really comfortable coming in. So if you get your tree stand set up in the right way and you're hunting the right wind, there's going to be different access points or access routes to your tree stands that are in there based off of the wind direction, right? So that's something that you learn by playing around with it. And you learn by how do deer use these staging areas, both in the afternoons and in the mornings, based off of the wind direction. So you get in there, you set up on a south wind. Oh man, they came downwind to me. They busted me. So you got to move your tree stand. Or a north wind. Or they're way too far upwind to me. I got to move even deeper into this. But I live by the rule of 90. Where I will walk in, take a long way, let's say up a ridge or down a ridge into, or I should say a draw, down in, walk the bottom of it. And as I come up to, you know, I become parallel with the staging area, that's when I 90 degree hook into the tree stand location and walk right into it. Now, here's a couple cool things that you can do in staging area, and a lot of it is based off of the terrain, how it lays. Probably won't be doing this in really flat ground, but I know I can get away with it in certain scenarios where the wind will blow over top of the deer movement. So if I have good thermals, I'm not worried. If I have thermals pushing down, I probably wouldn't hunt that stand. I'd get in there. I'd probably have to move to a different stand within that staging area. And what happens is if there's a good predominant wind, it's not necessarily a howler wind, but it's fairly brisk. My scent will go over top of the deer movement that's technically downwind to me, but because the terrain allows me to get away with it, they're most of the time they're lower than me, or the trail hugs real tight to the tree that I'm in. So it's like a 10 yard shot. If something does come through those trails, I have the ability to have that wind blow over them. And I can hunt that same stand on let's just say a north and a south wind, because they're lower on a south, way lower than me on a south wind, and my scent's blowing way over the top of them. The next thing is that on a staging area, especially when you're hunting ag, like big ag, I've noticed this, you want to keep the same access route on the way out unless the wind shifts, right? So there's a reason you're accessing that stand location in a staging area. It's because you don't want your wind A, blowing into the staging area, or B, blowing into the destination food source at dark, or walk out of that destination food source at dark. So what happens is a lot of people, and I used to do this too, I'd get into a staging area set, I'd set up money, but now I have to get out. So I take the lazy way out and I just follow the deer trail out to the field edge and then walk back to the truck it's the path of least resistance. But I'm bumping deer like crazy getting out of there. Sometimes they're still in the staging area at dark. Sometimes they're past the staging area into the food source. And either way, along that path back to the truck, through the staging area, through the destination egg, I'm bumping deer out. So I take the back door and I walk the same access route that I took to get in. And leaving's just important. And when I started doing that, I'll tell you this right now, I was able to sit tree stands more than that first time in, best time in type scenario. I was able to get 3, 4, five sets out of a particular tree because I was real critical on my access. And that plays a big role in the staging area conversation. So what else was I going to say here? Let me pull up my notes. By the way, this bourbon's delicious. I hope everybody's getting fired up for this upcoming season, man, because I'm getting fired up. All right, so we talked about edge. What makes a staging area good, right? The deer slow down, they lay the sign, you can identify that. What makes a staging area better? If a really good terrain feature runs up into it, like all the deer travel just kind of runs right up into it, and you can play off that. You might be able to cut the wind on that terrain feature so that the deer really feel comfortable coming in. You use that terrain feature to suck the wind out, but at the same time, the deer are using that to their advantage, and it just makes for a slam dunk type of shot. Now, obviously, you just have to wait for the right deer to come through. The thing that makes a staging area bananas is when you have that edge, almost the type of edge that funnels deer in with the funnel of the terrain feature and all the distinctions of a staging area all right there. That is when you can sit. Those are the places that I like to sit almost all day, because I don't like to sit all day. But if I'm going to sit in a spot all day, it's probably going to be in a slam dunk set like that, where you have all those features, all those benefits to sitting in a location, the deer sign, the edge, the terrain feature, the thickness of the staging area before they head out to the ag field. And if you could find it around water, that would even be better yet. But I'm telling you, man, I love those. And if I'm going to sit all day, I'm going to sit in that place all day long, especially with a good thermal rise on a, let's say, a cold day, one of those high pressure days where the thermals are rising. Man, you can get away with murder, literally murder in some of those spots. So those are a couple things to think of. We talked about access. We talked about what a staging area looks like. We talked about, we talked about all that stuff, right? So I'm going to keep this one short, right? I just wanted to, these unfiltered episodes are basically just me spitting my experience out. Again, I don't know your properties. I'm never going to tell you how you should do something. I want you to get out there. I want you to scout. I want you to look for the freshest sign. I want you to look for the terrain features, the edge. And as the year goes from early season to late season and that vegetation falls off, sometimes those trails change. Sometimes that edge becomes less distinct and more wide open. Sometimes even the staging area itself changes and goes to a different part of the ag field or the different, you know, they stage before that Oak Ridge or wherever that destination food source is. So as the seasons change, you need to change with that staging area. But at the same time, never lose sight of your access route. I'm telling you, man, people get tired, they get lazy, and they just want to walk a deer trail off a field edge into this when they need to be using terrain to their advantage, 90 degree into that, and get those lock tight access routes. So I'm going to call it a night. I'm going to finish this glass of bourbon and I'm going to go to bed because I'm tired as shit. Hopefully you guys are being safe out there. Wear your damn safety harness. Good vibes in, good vibes out. And remember, it's fucking crazy out there right now. People are that should be friends or enemies, and I hate all of this stuff. So remember, there's this golden rule my mom taught me: treat others the way that you want to be treated, kill them with kindness, positive vibes, and good luck this upcoming season, man. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.